Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Kira Life Podcast with me, Phyllis McKenzie. If you're new here, remember, check out our links in the description and don't forget to leave us a rating and review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. This is our regular scheduled Monday episodes where it's just me and a guest. Yes, we're back with that. And today's guest is someone new. If I can say that, it's a new perspective in everything that we've been doing here in Kira Life Podcast. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce Michael Magruch. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Phyllis. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
So, what's going on?
Everything is going on. I'm basically worldwide.
Yeah,
you can see that I'm everywhere and nowhere all at the same time because my work, we're just divided. We're just divided with locations, with people, with everything. So it's nice to be back on here with somebody alongside me as a guest.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I hope that everybody who will be listening today will grasp something, I think, or I hope they'll grasp something from today's episode because our little series, our three-episode series that we'll have between me and you, it's going to be something new. We've never had this in the podcast before, and we've never had a guest like you before. Yeah.
And it is for all humans. We have to say that. It is for all humans. It's not just a woman, man, a certain race, or whatever. It is for all human because all humans are one of one. Mm-hmm. And we have to work synergistically together to make life work.
Mm-hmm. And you've heard that, ladies and gentlemen, it's for everybody and any age. So I think my demographic will be covered with this episode.
Exactly.
Yeah, so let's begin. Michael, I'd like you to tell us, who is Michael Magruch in a nutshell and what inspired you to become who you are today?
Okay, I was born in Vienna, Austria, and I was a sick child. I went to school with seven. I couldn't understand anything because I'm extremely neurodiverse and have dyslexia with dysgraphia, which is dysgraphia. Dyslexia is switching like 13 to 31. And dysgraphia is that my brain hand coordination is off, meaning I cannot, make a portrait of you, but I can do abstract art. And I discovered art very early, like a lot of kids do, because it saves us, because when we are not good in school, art at least keeps us where we feel understood. And I learned art and for myself, because nobody taught me. And I became a musician, a DJ. I sold tapes out of my trunk. I did fashion shows, obviously dance events. And then I just keep doing art. And when I was 30, I found, I did a CV and I said, my God, I am really an artist. I don't care if anybody says I am or not, because I can't do anything else. I couldn't be a bookkeeper or a lawyer or a doctor. I can only do art. And it's the only thing that makes me happy. And and that was very important because once I made that decision, I didn't mind have no money, or I didn't mind being, because I cannot be what I am not. I cannot be a doctor when I can't be a doctor. Mm-hmm. So, and I was just really getting into the arts, and this was also my success. I did music, I painted, I did video, I worked in film. Robert Evans, who did The Godfather and Chinatown, invited me to work with him. I co-produced with him, lived in his house. I was an arts commissioner of a big city here in California, Newport Beach. I wrote six books about art. But all that things is nothing, because I couldn't do film today, because film, I could do film, but I couldn't be really good at it like the kids are today in your age, because you can use an iPhone and create films. So, whatever you have done in your life is just a part that you taught you. But it, I found that creating anything, a podcast, whatever you create, is the superpower. the product is nebulous. It's just a luck, good luck that people like your music, that people like whatever you create, that they like your podcast. Because you know from the podcast, it's 1% makes 98% of the revenue in podcasting. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a magical medium to dance with each other like we do and to express yourself. Because if you don't express yourself, you begin a war. You start hurting each other and begin a war. War is not hatred. War is powerlessness. So when humans feel powerless, they are ready to have a war because somehow they have to survive. And, you know, the system pushes them down so much or takes so much taxes or whatever. So people feel powerless and they need to survive. And when, you know, if they would lock you and me in a cage, sooner or later, we would fight each other because our DNA takes over. It's not because I'm mean or you are mean. Our DNA takes over and we start attacking each other.
Mm-hmm. Something you've said, Michael, has actually resonated with me a lot. You've said that you can't be what you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that resonates a lot with me because you'll find that I have done so much in the such little time I've been on this earth, because that's why I started this podcast. I always said that art is what you make it. It can be as little as a painting, it can be as big as a film, but whatever you do is art, basically. So what if you paint, if you write music, if you write poetry, if literally anything you do and you share it out of the world, that is art, because it is your creativity, basically. And you yourself, you have done so much because you've been here longer than I have, and significantly longer.
A little bit, Phyllis, yeah. A little bit longer.
Just a wee bit. I mean, who's counting?
Exactly.
Yeah, and you've done so much. And I want to know, how did you land into being a creativity awareness educator and also a multidisciplinary artist?
So because I told you all this stuff, so I started painting, you know, after the music, I started painting, I wrote a screenplay, I expressed myself my whole time. And in that, and this is what I want to convey to people, we are all artists, but we don't have fused the muscle. So, you know, if you and I say, oh, we're going to run a marathon, now we can't, but perhaps in a year we can prepare and for the marathon. The same is with art. We are all artists by nature. That's why, you know, I'm saying even war is a creation of art. You know, everything is a creation, but people are not conscious. That's the sad thing. So we are all creation. You know, I'm making a new bookkeeping office. That's a creation. I'm making a podcast. That's a creation. I'm writing a book. That's a creation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting a new course, online course. That's a creation. It's all our expression, where we feel most comfortable of doing, hopefully. And so because we can't do what we are not. So I could be an accountant, but I would make a lot of mistakes. I would, because of my neurodiversity, I switch a lot of numbers. Mm-hmm. And it would take me a longer time because I'm also not that good with computers. So, you know, you got to do what feels fulfilling. And this is the big secret. When you feel something is fulfilling, not, oh, I helped this person, I did this thing. No, when you feel something that fulfills you, that means it's a feedback loop that you, for you, because you are one of 8 billion, are on the right track. And because what fulfills you doesn't fulfill me. So it's the emotional feedback loop that says, okay, I want to work in wine connoisseur. And you say, I can never stop understand, you know, I love being wine connoisseur, tasting the whole ambience and all this stuff. Not to get drunk, but I like to be a wine connoisseur. So when you do that and you're fulfilled, you're on the right track, especially if you don't want to just get drunk. And when you say, oh, a wine connoisseur is really a lot of money, I'm just become a wine connoisseur. then you probably end up being a drunk bank commissioner because you're so frustrated that you do a job that's not you, if that makes sense.
And I want to kick this ball right into what we'll be discussing in the next episode, system relevance versus human-centric life.
Which
is dominant? You know, I remember you asked me that on the email, and I really, really knew that I want that to be a topic of focus on this podcast, especially for an episode, because it's something I'm sure a lot of people will appreciate. So without revealing too much, so we can have a little bit more to discuss next, how do you integrate human-centric approaches into your daily work as a strategist or in whatever else you do in life?
The human-centric, it helped me a lot because till 52, I was just hitting the wall, being strong, doing whatever the system say, go through, do it, be hard, sacrifice, suffer, do whatever you need. And then once I understood, when I wrote my book about the arts creation versus the arts product, I learned that it's about, we are human-centric, so we are a part of nature. So our biggest thing is not science or whatever. Our biggest teacher is nature. Because when I don't know how to, I see a problem with humans, I say, now how does nature do this? I'm not saying I'm copying nature, but I'm looking at nature because we are part of nature. And human centricity basically means we are 8 billion one-of-one people, and we have 8 billion life perspectives, because just look at your family. Everybody has a different life perspective. So in human-related issues, nobody is right or wrong. So if I say, oh, you say, Michael, you are tiny. And I said, yeah, I wish I was 6.5. It's all, it's non sequiturs. It's an, doesn't mean anything, because because I am my, you know, 6 foot, 5'9", you know, and that's it. And I don't have to discuss it or whatever. It just is that way. And, but I can be system relevant, meaning the systems is this what we created as a creativity, as a collective creative species. So an ant, we are not creating anthills like an ant. We don't have a thing like an elephant. We create our own species, our cities, like New York, Singapore. We have Google. We have, it's all collaborative. And it's not, you know, people say, oh, it's Steve Jobs is the thing. No. Steve Jobs would still sit in his garage and tinker around with a computer if he wouldn't have the team around him. We are collective. We are best when we work together synergistically. So I'm good with people, you're good with technology, and then we do each what we are good at. Not, we don't do everything the same. We don't make everything system relevant. So we need to know everything. We just know what we are good at, and that's what we need. So the difference between system relevance is knowledge. Human centricity is wisdom and awareness. That's natural to us because we are not linear, binary beings. We work with our six senses. The fact that you and I can speak is that because we adjust to each other's six senses. And so, you know, and when you do art, especially, you always, because in the art, it's not important how much output you have or whatever. It's basically, we got to do a theater piece, you know, or we got to do that music, and everybody has to fit. So it's not like, oh, you know, there's the conductor and he's the highest of the, no, he has to go in the team. He's a part of the team to keep all the plates spinning. And and that's why art is so powerful, and nobody looks at it like that, because everybody thinks just system relevant. You have to be a leader, you have to be a CEO, you have to be the richest person in the world. But those are the least free people. I mean, we always think, oh, we want to go up there. And that's what system relevance says. System relevance says, you work hard, and then you retire. But when you retire, you are so sick, because your whole life you contributed and sacrificed, your body got sick. And then when you retire, you're basically ready to die. You know, you never find your one of oneness that nature gave you or God.
Now you've made me really curious. I want to ask you, Michael, when it comes to us as a species, as humans, who we are, how we live our lives, what do you think? Is it nature or nurture that makes us who we are?
I think it's both. It's nature. We are nature. We are human-centric. Because, look, in systems, if I thought, let's say there's a lady that runs, is a CEO, right? Mm-hmm. So when she falls in love with her secretary, you know, that's not system relevant. You're not supposed to fall in love. But we do, because we are human-centric. We are not by rules and regulation, but we go by our feelings. We are emotionally, you know, interacting, dancing with each other. Mm-hmm. And whatever system says, oh, you can't be with this person or you can't do this, you do it. You know, it's like, you know, and that's why we function human centrically, but we act system relevant. Mm-hmm. And every human is today, when you go on any Facebook, Instagram, whatever, there's two classes only. I mean, we are 8 billion different people, right? Mm-hmm. There's basically two classes. The ones, the Elon Musk, the Jeff Bezos, the Beyonce, the Jay-Z. And then there's the other one that pretends to be like them. So mm-hmm. I have a poor neighbor that goes in front of a hotel, makes a selfie, and shows himself like he was Elon Musk. So basically, we try to copy each other, and we are not each other. You know, mm-hmm. the rich people wear T-shirts. They're not, you know, and that we have a Mercedes dealership here, and the people, the salespeople look more wealthy than the people that have the money and buy the cars. You know, it's just we are not who we are. We try to pretend, you know, and do what the masses do, and therefore we sell out. Because mm-hmm. everybody's different, everybody's unique, and I'm the best. Example. I was told till I don't know 50, 52 that you do that. I was listening to people what they said, what I should do, mm-hmm. and everything was literally 90% was wrong. Because how can they one of one know what my one of one wants? But they are not the masses. The mm-hmm. masses. There's no masses, you know. When you look at humanity, there's not even male and female, because there's women that are more stronger than any man could ever be, and there's men that are more feminine than any woman can ever be. So mm-hmm. What are we doing? We are all humans. That's it. Period. Other than it comes to procreating, you know, in nature, look how nature does it. Except in mating season and giving birth to kids, mm-hmm. they're completely the same, female and male. Sometimes the zebra woman is leading the herd. Sometimes the male is leading the herd. Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. And the zebra is jealous at the giraffe that she's taller. It's just crazy what we do.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just that... evolutionary, we as a species are just competitive in nature. We always want to be on top. We want to be like the others. We want to be in control. So if one person has that, the other feels like it's their obligation to have it as well. So we are always at each other's throats. We want to be in the same position that this other person is at. We want to have what this other person has. We want to have the life this other person has. We cannot just be satisfied with what you have in the present. I think that's just what we've been doing for generations and generations, and I don't think it will ever stop.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think we are in competition? Have you ever thought about that?
Actually, yeah, I have. Because if you look back, live alone this new world that we're in, if you look back in the old world, what I can only describe as the old world, back all the way to the Han Dynasty, back even older than old London, you'll realize that throughout history, people were satisfied with what they had at a point. We as a species, yeah, we're satisfied with what we have. If you're the king, you're the king. No peasant will want to be the king. If you're a farmer, you're a farmer. No other, yeah, person would want to do what you want. But somewhere else in life, it all switched off and we started desiring what the other person had. So you realize that the farmer wanted to become king because he asked himself, why not? The king all of a sudden wants to become the farmer because he also said, why not? You'll find that somebody else wanted to do somebody else's job. You'll find somebody wanted to grab whatever other people had. So things like killing and things like corruption, all these things started surfacing.
I think what's really amplified the fight for each other was when we generalized, and we didn't need to generalize people now, but at that time it was helpful to generalize woman and male, to segregate them, and you know, the British went all around the world and they had to catalogize the different races they conquered and all that stuff. And when you generalize humans, then they become instantly, and which systems do, you know, mm-hmm, it segregates people. Because you and I, if I look at you as a woman only, so whatever I know or what I've learned from systems, oh, women, they want just money, and men are pigs, they want just sex, you know, if I look, mm-hmm, at that, I'm already discrediting the other person. If I look at you as one of one, oh my God, there's my chance right now to be with one of one person. Mm-hmm. And by dancing with her, first of all, I cannot repeat the moment that I have with you, because time, you can't repeat it. Because if you ever try to repeat a podcast, it's completely different.
That's true.
And then I see you as one of one and dance with you when you open my perspective and I, what we're doing right now, and I open your perspective, your unique perspective, because you have your unique, but nobody thinks like you about this, you know, mm-hmm, they can similar but not exactly. And when we do this, we open our perspectives and then we experience growing. Mm-hmm. But in knowledge you grow also, but not, you don't experience it. You think, dang, and you experience it because you think about it. But when you dance with a human, the most elegant growth is when you dance with another one of one human and you open your perspective. And that's your experience too. Like you also, when you do a job, but not when you know a job and you read everything, you get a diploma and whatever, you, mm-hmm, don't know anything about the job because you're basically have to start from scratch once you have a diploma, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I think people have started to fight each other when the system was outdated. If the systems would have updated and say, oh, it's this, life is more than just male and female and the race. Mm-hmm. Life is, there's more about this. And the system tries, because when the system finds out, okay, white people have these diseases, black people have those diseases, and whatever, they find out, but it's system reversed engineered. And when you do system reversed engineered, then you have a thing, we are the world, which, mm-hmm, is not, it's an artificial system relevant thing. Oh, we are all together. It's not, mm-hmm, bad. I say, I'm happy that we had that, we are the world. But honestly, it's the system reverse engineered, where you say, I put one gay in, one black, one white, one Asian, and one with female and male, and that's the world. No. No, that's not the world. The world is, everyone is one of one. And you couldn't even put that into a visual, you know? And, mm-hmm, and we have to hold hands, you know, you and I. That's just, it also doesn't mean because you are one of one, we have to love each other and hug each other. No. But that, as I respect that there is another person that is a one of one, and I have no right to generalize all women, mm-hmm, because it's wrong. I'm sorry. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. I can't generalize all Black women. I can't. There is no, I mean, you know what this is, or white man or Asian man. I cannot generalize them because everybody is good, bad, or ugly, or happy, or what. There's so many variations of each human.
I get that because I've always said since I was a teenager, please do not generalize me. When you are describing somebody, I don't care if they look like me, I don't care if we're the same race, I don't care if we're from the same country, their actions don't reflect on me.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if I know them, it doesn't matter if they're somebody totally random, I am who I am, so do not bounce off those energies onto me, because once we do that, the system itself will come crumbling down. There has to be a balance in the system. And if you try to overwork it, if you try to go around it, if you try to adjust it, it will crumble down. And that's something we always constantly do. And a lot of people find it hard not to, because not only do people adore generalizing things. I found that even us as journalists themselves, even in articles that we write, even in news works that we put out to the world, we enjoy generalizing, because you'll find that, let's take an example, over the years, right, we've had the wars in every single Middle Eastern nation, right? We've had Afghani wars, we've had Iran wars, we have Iraq wars, we have Israeli wars, but presently, if you hop onto social media, the moment somebody sees an Iraqi person, boom, that's the first thing they think. The war, your people bombed this nation, your people did this. It's not a matter of your people. What did this person do as an individual? What did they do? They just want to study. They just want to live their life. They just want to exist. But no, you just decided to put on the crown of your people on their head. And now people are constantly arguing on social media. You'll find people are always at each other's throats. That's why, social media is always a stress for me, Michael, because always when I hop onto Twitter,
it's for everyone. Yeah,
I hop onto Twitter and I'm like, I need to shut this down, because when something starts trending, that's it. You're crucified for all your people's mistakes. You don't even know what's happening. You're not even aware. You didn't even know it was happening, but suddenly you're part of the war. You're fighting battles that aren't your own.
People feel powerless. People feel powerless. That's why they need impact. They say, they're by nature one of one, which is enough power, because nobody is more than you. Everybody's one of one. God is more, perhaps, but you are one of one. Mm-hmm. And so you can only make yourself in the metaverse of systems more. So I can be the president of a state, and in the system I'm more. But as human, I'm not more. Because as human, millionaires kill themselves because they're so segregated from the humanity. We are all sitting in the same boat. And the problem is, you said something so powerful, because can you, first of all, African, Jewish, Palestinians, Ukrainians, Russians, Americans are all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they are not representing their country. They're representing themselves. Mm-hmm. They are one of one. And they say, I'm going to go. I wasn't born in Austria. And I went to America because I felt I need to be there. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with, because I was just born in Austria. So if they make Austria like Israel, all of a sudden I'm hated all over the world because Israel does something and they have a connection. They say, oh, she's from Israel. Oh my God. No, she's a Palestinian. Oh, she's horrible. Mm-hmm. It's just the generalization kills us. We need to stop generalization. We need to update systems to see human as one of one, human centrically, and not as tribes. You can do a tribe if you want with different people, which, all the tribes that we have today are anyway by different people. They're not just by all Jews, all Palestinians, all Ukrainians. They're a mixture all over the world. Because look at the music. You have one black person, one Asian person, one this person. They're all a woman, a man, especially the new generations. They don't care. They just mix people up. But we can be segregated when there is a war by saying, oh, my God, you were Jewish. Sorry, you can't be in our group anymore. You can't be our artist anymore. And we have to see that. We have to, because you cannot generalize humans or make them system relevant. I'm a woman. I'm a man. No. When the people say, oh, Michael, oh, you're so great. Blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I'm just Michael. And that's my opinion. I don't like to tell people what to do. Nothing. I'm just here to talk, dance, and then I'm leaving. I'm not. I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to be rich and famous. Because I know a lot of rich and famous people, and I know what they are. They're extremely lonely and they're totally disconnected. And the longer somebody rules, the more they're disconnected because they haven't been with the people.
And I think our audience, they need to remember that in nature itself, leave alone us as humans, in nature itself, there's always a hierarchy. And that hierarchy bounces off into our species as well. That's why you find that in nature, animals don't have a language that they can speak or convey a message like we do, but they understand this is our leader, this is our mother, this is our sibling, this is the jobs we're supposed to do. And if we move on to the next step and take over this new role, then we deserved to take over that role. But when you come into us as human beings ourselves, we throw out the concept of hierarchies far away in the back of our minds. And that's why I think the whole concept of generalization pops in, because you'll find that we all start from somewhere, right? We all started as babies.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're going to do. Yeah. We don't know what we're going to become. That's why you always ask a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because this kid doesn't know what they want to be. I remember when I was a kid, I told my mom when she asked me that question, I told her I want to be a doctor. And then a couple of years later, I changed it. I want to be an astronaut. And then I changed it again. I wanted to be an astrophysicist before I actually got my footing and realized, oh, wait, I've got a voice. I want to be a journalist. Use my voice to do good on this planet. Voice the voiceless, as I say. So that hierarchy in life, that growth that we undergo as humans, that objectivity we get that there's always going to be a change is something that a lot of people need to remember, because some people out there, and I know of them, they stick into one concept and one concept alone and live by it for the rest of their lives. And often that concept is wrong. For example, you'll find somebody, let's take an example, somebody who for generation, they were unfortunately raised by racist people in their family, from their grandparent to their parent to them themselves and now their children. This has been something that has stuck within their family. It's not something they changed. They know it's wrong, but they don't change. They stuck by it because they use the sentence, it's always been what we do. That's the most annoying part. They say it's always been what we do. It's tradition. It's our family tradition. And I get it. Sometimes tradition is good. We need tradition in society. But when it's the wrong tradition, that's what stirs us in the wrong direction. Because imagine if people can just sit back and say, I'm my own person, I will think what I think, and I choose to think what is best for the next person next to me. Don't you think we'll be the better species on this planet?
What's the best thing for you?
At this point, animals are way better than we are.
Yeah, it's I think we need, the tradition, I would say cultural tradition is very important. Cultural. Not to affect humans or do anything bad to humans. I think the cultural tradition of art, expression, singing, songs is very, very important for where you're coming from, for understanding where you're coming from. It's very, the tradition, there's, in psychologists, they say, when you have, there's this family that has the the turkey, and they use that huge turkey pen and for the little turkey. And they say, ah, it is the best turkey. And everybody loves the turkey. And so mm-hmm. once the grandmother and the grandmother came, and I said, so why are we having this big, but the little boy asks, why do we have this big thing for such a small turkey? And the mother says, I don't know, because my mom did it. And then the mother says, oh, the grandma, my mom did it. And so the thing is, and the grandmother says, yeah, we didn't have a small apartment. We just used what we have. And it's just, we do, and often is also, if a billion people say the one thing, that doesn't mean the billion people are right. Billion mm-hmm. people can be wrong. Look what we do with ourselves. We generalize us. I mean, 8 billion people basically generalize us. Perhaps it's less because of us. But in general, I mean, we have the wrong thing. The people believe that the earth is flat. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it doesn't mean it's right because so many believe it. But people feel so unsafe currently because it's never enough. So if you and I make $10,000 today, tomorrow we have to make $12,000. And the next day we have to do something. We cannot drive the old car and be happy with the old car. We have to buy a Ferrari. We have to buy a Lamborghini. We have mm-hmm. to buy these cars, you know, the Rolls Royce. So because we have so much money. So it's the continuous, and it thinks it makes you happy. It makes you fulfilled. And therefore you're right out of this, of the moment, because in the moment I'm feeling very fulfilled with you right now by dancing. I'm not thinking right now, oh my God, I can't believe Phyllis and I, we're going to make this the best podcast and it's going to be explained all over the world. I don't care if people mm-hmm. hear it, the right people will hear it and they will think, I don't need 15,000 listeners. You know, I the right people will hear it. And that's it. And that's how you do awareness. Awareness trumps everything. So the way what we talk today is, it is not like you have to be you have to be Democratic, you have to be a Republican, you have to be this person or that person. No. Mm-hmm. Our context of what we talked was is to be used by every single one human. If you're a leader or if you're the beggar on the street, it doesn't matter. And mm-hmm. what are they thinking today? The beggar and the billionaire think the same thing. 80% of their thoughts are about money. And now I'm asking you, do you think nature made us to think 80% of money, of our time, and not loving each other and creating something super, opening our human potential? No, we have to think all 80% of money. That's insane. Mm-hmm. It's an imbalance that's completely insane. That's why we have wars, because everybody feels so disempowered. Because even if you and I make $10,000, we feel disempowered tomorrow. Today mm-hmm. we are happy, right? But tomorrow and the next day we say, oh, how are we gonna make more money? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what advice would you give or offer to somebody who is in need or wants to transition into a more human-centric approach in their lives?
The only way you the possibility, not the short term. The short term is cheating somebody and screwing somebody like everybody else does and showing off of something that you system relevantly to make money is you pretend you are somebody that you are not. You know, you dress up all thing and you it's all the form. It's never the function. Human centricity focus on the function. On what is, why did nature make you that way? Let's say you even have a handicap. I have a handicap, you know, and you have a handicap. And so, and I asked myself when I grew up, I said, wow, why does that everybody can do it except me? Mm-hmm. And I was very, but if I would have had somebody like you and I that told us that, if I would have listened to our podcast when I was little, I would have such an easy life, much more easier life. Because I would mm-hmm. search for not how to fit into the system, but how to actually who I am. And before education, find what our kids, what it is to be human first. Mm-hmm. Because once I know what my one of oneness is, or closer get to it, it's never done till you die. You learn more and more about who you are. Mm-hmm. That's what life is. But when I find that, then I have it easier in system, being system relevant. I can actually say, you know, I really like animals, for example, so I should be in a zoo or in a wildlife preservative. I like really money, so I should go to a bank, you know? So you would find that out. You would find that out. And I think that's what the realest, the most real chance of living a fulfilled life. Because I found it out with 52. Literally, it took me 52 years to find out. But when you find out about system relevance and human centricity, and that you are one of one, there's nobody like you. Phyllis, I can look all over the world. It's proven there's never going to be anybody like you. Mm-hmm. What an honor to be with you, because there's not 10 of you. If I had 10 Phyllis's here, I would say, okay, Phyllis, screw it, Phyllis. It doesn't matter. If I don't like you, I take the other Phyllis. No, there's one Phyllis, mm-hmm. you know? And that's yeah. magical, yeah. you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that my younger demographic and those in my age group listening to this podcast will grasp, and I hope will grasp from this podcast, because like I said, I figured out a lot when I was in my teenage years, because I wish that back then, I wish I knew that people could connect like this and get to talk and be more open-minded, instead of being fed this concept of, if you want something, if you need to be somewhere, you have to scramble for it, you have to kick down a few doors, you have to push off some other people just to get there. But the more I get older, I realize that the road is wide enough for everybody. The road is wide enough for everybody. We will meet each other at some point, and we will be stuck at the same point with different situations. All we need to do to get forward is help each other get there, because there's no point of struggling if you're not alone. If you're alone, completely alone, if you look around and you're completely alone, struggling is understandable. But if you're struggling and you look around and there are other people around you, that's something you need to question. There's a lot you need to question. Who are these people around you? Do you really need them around you? Do you really need to be in this situation if they're not helping you? And there's something that a lot of people have often said when I grew up, it's not about the journey, it's about the destination. But when you really think about it, the journey itself also matters, because what are you doing through that journey in order to get to where you want? Are you doing wrong things? Are you kicking off some other people? Are you being rude to other people? Are you making a mark in people's lives on your way there? Because if you're not making an impact or not learning something on that journey, the destination won't be worth it, right? Yeah. It won't be worth yeah. it having...
Is the journey always more important? Yeah, that's why I say the art of creation is that where you get, you learn the most, you find the most, you discover the most, you get your self-esteem, you get your self-confidence. Because if I say, okay, Phyllis, your podcast is the worst podcast ever, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. Or it's the best podcast. It doesn't really matter, because I didn't do your podcast. You did your podcast, and I don't even have a podcast, but I say your podcast is the best or worst. You understand what I mean? It's like, how can I say that? I'm one of one, you are one of one. Whatever you do cannot be bad because you did it. It cannot mm-hmm. be bad or good. It cannot be bad. I like it. I say, oh, Phyllis, I love your podcast. Makes me feel great. Yes, but I have no impact on or authority over you and say, you should change this. You should change, you know, you should wear you should dress like a mouse. Mm-hmm. Why? You get more attention. No, I don't want attention. I have enough attention because I'm one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And that's what's the thing. So we are perfect. Everybody is perfect as they are. And let other people be perfect too. And don't, because when you judge other people by generalization, you castrate yourself too. It's not only you hurt other people, you hurt yourself, because you don't appreciate your own one of oneness. Mm-hmm. If I say all white people are horrible, then I as a white people, I'm hurting myself. Even if I was a black person and say all white people are horrible, or I was an Asian person, if I was saying that, I would say, okay, there's no value in me being white and you being another color.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of value because everybody's unique, not because you have the same color. Mm-hmm. You are one of one. And that's what I want to convey. It's magical that we all, and it's not boring, because if we were all the same, if humans were defined only in race, gender, and sexuality, and if they were like that from mm-hmm. nature, let's say nature made us like that, you know how boring the world would be. Mm-hmm. Do you think? Because if you are a girl that everybody would like, then only you would be liked, and nobody else would be liked. It's just nobody else could have a relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because hey, there's only one girl, that's the super girl, and we love her, or the super guy, you know? It's just mm-hmm. it makes no sense. The beauty and the power and the magic of being human is that we all different, and by dancing with each other, not fighting, not committing, not controlling, not manipulating, we can experience our own one of oneness, the beauty of our own selves, and we can experience our human potential. Because when I fit with somebody, like you and I fit, you know, we fit good in talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how great is that? I mean, how magical is that? We have never met, we have never seen, and we use our six senses to connect naturally. Woo! Mm-hmm. I don't need to go to Harvard for that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we won't be giving away too much, ladies and gentlemen, in this episode. Michael and I will be diving even deeper onto this episode, in particular this topic, next week when you finally hear this. So before we conclude this episode in particular, Michael, is there something you'd like our audiences to hear in regards to whatever we've talked about today?
Yeah, that you are one of one. Please start thinking about why you are one of one, because and nobody in human, not in system, not in fixing a motor or mm-hmm. fixing a computer, but in human centricity, nobody can tell you what to do, because you are one of one and everybody else is a one of one. So there is no masses that are the same. They pretend to be the same,
mm-hmm.
but they are not the same, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that will be the title of this particular episode. You are one of one. It summarizes everything.
Yeah. And it always gets us straight. It's get us straight. We are not Israelis. We are not Palestinians. We're not Africans or Europeans. We are humans that came from there, from that area.
That just happened to be born there. Right? We're just humans that just happen to be born in particular nations, by particular families, around particular people. And we're just moving on in life, making memories and making friendships until we eventually die, basically. Exactly.
And we learn who we are, our oneness. We learn how precious our one of oneness is. When we dance with other one of one, we discover how pressure a one-on-one is, and how ourselves. Every time we generalize, we blur it out. It's like looking through a silk sheet. You know, you don't look at the person. You're looking through a curtain. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And although it's the end of the episode already, Michael, it's not the end of this topic. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said. We will be back. We will be back with another episode where Michael will walk us through even in a more detailed fashion regarding this particular topic, because there's a lot to talk about, a lot. I don't think it's something you can completely exhaust when you begin talking about, because something always pops up regarding the topic. But thank you so much, Michael, for being part of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
we
are Phyllis, here. We can ask your audience to, if they have question to this, they should write the questions in. So it would
help.
We want to help people. We want to help one of ones. And everybody, I'm not wanted people to agree with me, but you know, if whatever you have thing, I can explain it and Phyllis and I can talk about it, you know?
So dropping your questions, dropping your comments, I'll leave a banner on Spotify where you can directly send us into the podcast your questions. You can also send us a voice message if you don't want to type it out. You just want to talk, rant, and then we'll try to figure out what you're saying, because I understand that putting thoughts into words sometimes is often hard. So speaking it out is always easier. And we'll see you next time, Michael, here at Care Life Podcast. I don't know if it's next week or the other week after this, but it's soon. It's soon.
Okay.
Yeah, for this podcast. And until then, remember to leave a